Morning Glory. One more time. Morning Glory. I know you guys are lethargic and tired. And is anybody else hard to get out of bed this morning? Yes, it is one of those times. And so here's where I'm at today. And a few things you got. I want you to pull out, if you got a bulletin this morning, a couple of things. There's two things you got in there. One is called Five Friend Focus. If you have one of these, I want you to, if you didn't get one of these, make sure you grab one on the way out. I'm going to talk about this today. And the other one is called this. It's called 5x5x5. It's a Bible reading plan. And so I'm going to talk about this a little bit today too, but just make sure you have those in hand. Today is pretty simple. For instance, if I ask you right now, where are you? Where are you at in life? Where are you at spiritually? Where are you at now, the same place where you're at a year ago? Where are you at spiritually? One of my favorite things is Adam and Eve is when they first sinned, the first time on earth their sin happened, they ate of the fruit, and all of a sudden they hid from the Lord, and God comes down, walks in the garden, and goes, his first question is, where are you? He's not asking because he's looking for a physical sign. He's God. He knows where Adam and Eve's at. And he's not saying, hey, where are you? I can't even see you through the bushes. He created the bushes. He knows where they're at. What he's looking for is a response of saying, here I am. Because when they signify, this is where I'm at, they're saying, I'm right here. It's not a physical place. It's almost like an emotional, spiritual place saying, I'm in hiding. For instance, when you go to a mall, if you can put that picture of a map up, when you go to a mall, the first thing you do usually is, if you're trying to find a store, the first thing you go is, you look for your store and you say, JCPenney's, A6, or whatever it is, and then you go to and look for, where are you? Can you imagine those maps at the mall not having a star to say where you are? Right? Can you imagine, like, how much longer would it take to figure out where you go if you never knew where you're at? Wouldn't it take much longer time? Because so many times, if we're not honest thinking, you are here, we don't know where we're at. So here's the thing. In order to know where you're going, you have to know where you're at. Is this correct? In order to know where you're going, you got to know where you are. I am here. And this takes, honestly, some honest evaluation. This series, Next Steps, here's what it is. I need us, myself included, I need us to be honest. Because if you want to take a next step, if you want to move forward spiritually, if you want to be restored in your family, if you want to be restored in your heart, if you need to move forward, I'm telling you, you need to be honest where you are. Are you as passionate for the Lord today as you were 6 months ago, a year ago? Are you doing what God's called you to do now? Is your hunger for the things of Him stronger than it's ever been? And if it's not, there needs to be an evaluation of saying, what's going on? I'm not talking about an emotional state. I'm talking about a passion state, saying, Lord, I need you. I'm after you. I'm pursuing you. Because if you're like me, let's just be honest. You go through the holiday season, even though it's all about Him, it becomes just busy. Since Thanksgiving, isn't it just been busy? And sometimes our devotions might just take a tank. Sometimes for some people, next step may be picking up the Bible for the first time and reading it. Maybe for you, it might be going back to it. Maybe for you, it might be praying. Maybe it might be being water baptized. But for all of us, me included, we all have a next step. All of us. Anyone know what puts us all on the same level? In this room, we all need more of Jesus. Is this not true? So this whole series, and pretty much every series, is how do we take that next step to get, say, more of Jesus in our lives? So here's my thing where we're at. Do you know it takes 21 days, and this is what we talked about last year, it takes 21 days to create a habit. Whether that's a good habit or a bad habit, it takes 21 days to create a habit. They say on average, the average person makes 300 decisions a day. You might be thinking, I don't make that many decisions. You decided to be here, right? Maybe not. Maybe somebody forced you to be here, you know? But you decided, most of the time you decided, what are you going to eat? What time are you going to wake up? Are you going to take a shower, not take a shower? Are you going to be crabby? I'm not going to be crabby. We're trying to teach our kids, you decide how your attitude is. We're just trying to say, it's your decision. And so you decide. So the question is, out of those 300 decisions you make a day, are those decisions leading you closer to the Lord, or are they pushing you away from the Lord? Are they making you a better person? Are they good decisions, or are they tough decisions? And so interesting is, being January, a lot of people, as soon as the new year hits, you're thinking of the big word resolutions. You're thinking of goals, and you're thinking about, what do I need to do in 2016? What can make this year better? How can I be better? And these are all good things. I'm saying we're going to talk about this month. But here's the dilemma. I believe we put our resolutions and our goals too fast forward because we miss something very crucial. And here's what it is. What is God asking you to do in 2016? Think about that for a second. I was on the phone. It's not my notes, but I'm just going to be honest. A few weeks ago, I was in a phone conversation with a friend of mine, and they were asking for some advice, and I was very frank to give it. I was just, you know, they called me up, and they said, I'm really dealing with this. What should I do? And I said, without even thinking twice, I said, you should do this, this, and this. What about this, and this, and this, and this, and this? We talked for about 20 more minutes. They said, okay, I'll go do that. And I got off the phone, hung up, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you never asked me to share that. And I was like, holy cow. I was so easy to give advice because I thought I knew the best way to do it. But I didn't pray about their decision. We didn't pray on the phone. I just kind of give the advice. Like, I was so quick to give advice. And the Holy Spirit pulled me back and said, maybe before you give advice, you should seek me before you give advice. So lately, somebody's been asking me, hey, what should I do? I said, you know what, let's just pray about it for a few days and let's come back together. Maybe we pray on the phone about it. Because here's the deal. I put even my own opinions, because I feel like sometimes God is saying, it's not about your opinions, it's about your obedience. And I think for us, before we start buying our gym memberships for the next year and sign a commitment, before you watch the information commercials, what do you call them? Like on TV, that's what you call them. You guys remember those? You guys remember that one that was on TV? Like you put this like belt on and like that ab, and makes your ab stronger, and it literally zaps you. Anybody still use that? Is it works? And you strap it on, and like you're just, it says it tightens up your muscles and your core. And I'm like, can you imagine like me preaching and like having that on, and like every minute like this, like just, it's weird. Think about that. Think about all those commercials saying, hey, eat this pill and you're gonna lose 25 pounds. Yeah, that's all you do is eat the pill, you're gonna lose 25 pounds. And there's all these things out there, but maybe before we jump into what we need to do, today we need to jump into saying, God, what do you want me to do? Because today, listen, today I'm going to talk about something. If we don't get this right, we miss everything. And that is, do you or can you or are you hearing God's voice in your life? As a youth pastor, this is one of my greatest concerns. I would tell everybody, when I got hired on as a youth pastor, the pastor told me, what's your goal as a youth pastor? And I said, I'm going to try to be cool and be awesome, but that takes a lot of work. But what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to get every student in here, before they graduate from high school, to know God's voice for themselves. Because when they go to college or when they get a job, I won't be with them and their parents won't be with them. So they need to know God's voice for themselves, not just me. Because if the only time they hear the Lord is what I'm saying on Wednesday night or on Sunday morning, it's not enough. If the only time you dive into scripture is on Sunday mornings, I'm telling you right now, it's not enough. If you're about ready to do something stupid and the voice that you're hearing is Jarvis saying, don't do that, that's really stupid, that might work for a little bit, or your mom and saying, listen, you might hear your mom's voice, But eventually, you need the Holy Spirit to be working inside of you, to be hearing, this is, don't be touching this. Don't be doing this. Don't be looking at this. Don't go through that door. And so, is this making sense? And so we let it, today I'm going to go through pretty basic things to say, how do you hear God's voice for yourselves? And so, yeah, it's interesting because we need to give God our best. But the first part, Proverbs 14:15 says, the prudent, wise person considers well his steps. Now, I'm going to read a few scripture verses actually on my iPad, but the bulk of it, I'm going to read through my Bible and read off my Bible, because here's my encouragement for you. I think what happens is, whether it's your phone or an actual Bible, I think I'm not going to put the verses this month on the screen. And the reason is, I'll put the reference because I want us, some people in here know how to look it up, but some people don't. And I want us all to be on the same page and know that this is vital. This, the Word of God, is what we need to open up, whether it's on your phone or tablet, whatever it is, you need to be in the Word. We just need to be in the Word. Is this amen? Okay, so here we go. I love this because there's an illustration I'm going to share called balance and priorities. And people always talk about this time of year, you got to have balance. I was convicted about 3 years ago. I was speaking at this conference, and when I say conference, I meant like there was 20 people there. So don't look at me and say, oh, he speaks at conferences. It was minimal. So I was at this little conference speaking to a few 20 pastors or so, and I talked about balance and ministry. And afterwards, the pastor who was leading this conference says, Jarvis, I don't agree with what you just said. And I went, jerk. I was like, wow. I thought he was going to say, good job. And he just said, I don't agree. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you talk about balance like it's so important. I said, balance is not important. It's priorities is important. You've mixed it up. And I went, and it was like a conviction bomb on me. Because here's what balance does. If you can put that picture up there. In a, balance is this. Balance is horizontal. It's like juggling. It's like a balance beam. It's like it puts everything on the same line, my spiritual life, my family, my work, you know what I'm saying, my clothes, my ice cream, everything's kind of like, I got to balance, it's like measuring out, saying, I hope this doesn't go off kilter. The problem with this is that you're always in limbo like this with balance. Is this true? I got my school friends here, I got my church friends here, I'm living one way over this way. Listen, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, you got one foot in one boat, another foot in another boat, sooner or later, you're going to rip your pants. What it's talking about, you can't live in two worlds, and this is what balance does. Balance forces you to live on Sunday mornings differently than you live on Wednesdays and on Thursdays and on Mondays, because it's saying, how do you live this thing out? Where I want to share with you today is this. It's not about balance, it's about priorities, because balance works this way, priorities work this way. There's a story that goes like this. There was a professor that was in college one day, and he gets in front of a classroom, like, let's pretend we're in a classroom, and this professor is talking in front of all of these students, and he says, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to take these rocks, and I'm going to put as many big rocks as I can in this thing, like this. And he goes, do you think I can put any more rocks in here? And the class, like you, says, no, you can't put, is this true? I can't put more, any more big, it's full. Then he says, I don't know how full it is, because I can take these smaller rocks, and what I can do is I can put a few more smaller rocks in here, and he say, move them around and do different things with them. And he says, he asked the class, is it getting full now? And the students say, yeah, kind of. Then he goes, but what if I take some of this gravel, and I move a little bit of rocks around, and I fill it up? Look at this. I make some more room. You can make room all the way around, and you can fill this thing up. And as you fill it up, and you're saying, is this getting full now? Is this, whoa, I'm spilling everywhere. Is this getting full now? And your response would be, is this getting full now? Yes. And he says, but what if I take sand? What if I just take sand, and I keep on pouring it in, and I keep on pouring it in, and I keep on pouring it in, and I keep on pouring it in. What's interesting is this, is I can move my little big rocks around a little bit, make some more room, and I can put these rocks even back. And it says, am I full? Right? Am I getting full? And he says, so he asks the class, he goes, is it being filled up? And the class is like, yeah, you can't put much more in there. And he says, but what if I take some water and I just pour it in? Look how much water I can pour into this vase right now. And he says, what if what you think is full is totally different? And as he continues to speak, he says, here's the greatest irony in life is this. If I started with the water first, I couldn't get nothing else in there. If I started with the sand first, I couldn't do nothing else. And his professor looked at him and says, is this full? And the class was saying, yes, it's full. But he says, I'm going to tell you something. The great truth that we can conclude from this experiment is this. If we don't put all the larger stones, the larger rocks, into the vase first, we will never be able to fit all of them in later. If I didn't start with the big rocks first, they would have never fit in the vase. Is this true? This is what priorities does. It says, what is the most important? I'm going to give you honestly myself. My thing right now is myself and the Lord. That is a number. That might seem selfish, but I'm telling you, the illustration I use all the time is this. When I go on an airplane and they say, hey, before we take off, I mean, talk about the oxygen mask and put it on. And before you help anybody else, put your mask on first. And you're like, that's really selfish. What if my kid dies? And it dawned on me later, it's saying, if I don't put mine on first and help myself, and if I die, I'm no help to anybody else. If you are dying spiritually, you cannot give what you don't have. If you don't have peace, if you don't have joy, if you don't have security in Jesus Christ, you can't give it to somebody else. You can't bring life when you have no life. Is this true? And so myself and the Lord, this is what needs to happen. And then I'm telling you, it's my family, it's my wife, it's my kids. This comes, and people say, well, what about church? It's my family next. I tell people all the time, I'm not going to sacrifice my family on the altar of church. I love you guys. I love church. But it's me and the Lord, my family, and then, you know what I'm saying? Then it's the church. It's what God has called us to do as the body. Now listen, I can tell, my wife can tell, if those big things are messed up. Because what happens is our busyness and everything else gets so much in a way that we lose our priorities. And so kind of that's where we're at. And sometimes it's not people who change. Listen, it's priorities that change. When your priorities change, you begin to change. When that focus changes, our greatest danger is letting the urgent things in life take on the most important things in life. So many people have urgencies. Well, we got to make this phone call. We got to get this done. This is urgency. What happens is our urgency gets in the way of the main things. It might seem urgent to do it right now because you're a task person, or maybe you're a perfectionist, or maybe you just feel like it's going to get done. But I'm reminded every day about this. When I want to get something done, and my 6-year-old or 7-year-old kids or 4-year-old kids, however old they are, come up to me and say, do you want to go build a snowman? And I say, I need to prepare a message. Listen, there is times I will choose to do those ministry things, but I'm not going to choose it all the time. Is that making sense? There are certain things I want to make sure. Now, I can do it sometimes, but I'm not going to do it all the time. And that's where learning out priorities, how does it work for you? And so when your priorities change, you change. It's hard to hear God's voice when your priorities are off. And I would even say this, when your priorities aren't right, you probably won't hear God's voice until he's trying to yell at you, or something's trying to get your attention, or someone's throwing a yield sign in your way saying, don't go this direction. Because it's hard to hear God when it's not being connected right. The main thing, our main priority, is to hear God's voice. There's a story in Scripture, 1 Kings 19. If you get your Bibles or phones, 1 Kings 19. This is really interesting because at this time, I'm going to read about a story about Elijah. And Elijah, at this point, just saw miracles happen. The prophets, the evil prophets and the evil witches were coming against saying, you know, bring down fire, you know, do all this altar stuff. And people are attacking him saying, your God doesn't do this. And so he pretty much says, you guys do whatever you want to do. I'll come at the very end and show you what my God can do. And so at the very end, this miracle happens. Our God does greater things than all the other gods combined, and miracles happen. But as soon as this is over, Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, this person of Jezebel, and they go attack Elijah. So Elijah saw physical fire come down from heaven. He saw miracles happen. He was part of this great triumph. And then it says a few verses later, he begins to run because people are out to kill him. You talk about way up here to way down here. In the verse 19, here it says in we start in verse 19, verse 9. There he went into a cave and spent the night. He is running. He is running away. He's being a coward, and he's running away. And it says, the word of the Lord came to him, and it says this, Elijah, what are you doing? This is God. Here he is hiding, shaking in his boots. God comes to him and says, what are you doing? Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have been rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. He's literally saying, I'm it. He goes, and he even said in the beginning, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. He even says past tense, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. That means it's past tense, which means as of right now, I'm not sure where I'm at. Then the Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. You see pass by there? If you haven't noticed, write down, he didn't come to stay. He said he's going to pass by, which is interesting. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, a mighty earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. The mountain shook. Think about that. The wind was so powerful, as he's staying there, the wind was so powerful that rocks were crumbling. And then the earthquake happened, and he's thinking, oh, God's going to come in this way. And this is a guy who's heard about the burning bush experience and everything. He's like, it's going to happen this way. But God was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came, here's my thing is interesting, a gentle whisper came. Then Elijah heard it. Think about this. Elijah heard it, pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and the voice said to him, what are you doing here? The exact same question. And we think, well, God's going to come in a mighty way. He's going to come in an earthquake. He's going to come in a fire. He's going to come in this. And here's a guy who just got done seeing miracles happen. God's going to come and do crazy things. And you know how God showed up? In a whisper. He spoke the same thing. He's trying to get his attention. That's what he's trying to do. In the beginning, he's saying, what are you doing here? And then he brought an earthquake, he brought a fire, he brought wind, and he still wasn't getting it. So then he brought a whisper because he's trying to get Elijah's attention, saying, listen, listen to me. I'm going to come in a whisper. You know what's really cool about this? Is just 2 weeks ago, I was doing my devotions, and you don't need to look this up, and I was reading scripture, and it was in Amos. Anybody ever read Amos? It's not the craziest scripture. I mean, little small book. Amos 3:7 says this. It says, the Lord does nothing unless he reveals it, his secret to his servants and his prophets. The Lord does nothing unless he reveals it in secret to the prophets and to his servants. You know what that's telling me? When somebody whispers to you, one is, it's because there's a lot of noise and they're trying to get your attention to go someplace else, or it's because they're going to tell you a secret. And it says in scripture over and over and over again that the Lord wants to tell secrets to his followers. So it's my question. When was the last time the Lord whispered to you a secret? Isn't that awesome? Anybody like secrets? Secrets, secrets. You know what I'm saying? There's good secrets and there's bad secrets. But I'm telling you what. When you're trusted and someone says, hey, don't tell anybody else this, but I'm about ready to do a new thing. And God speaks to you. And God gives you a word that he hasn't given anybody else yet. And God's saying, this is for you. This is for your family. This is what I'm going to do. And God gives you a head up and goes, I want to speak to you. Can I just tell you right now, every single person in this room, God wants to speak to you. God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to whisper to you. The problem is we're waiting for an earthquake. We're waiting for the wind. Or maybe we are the earthquake and maybe we are the wind. And maybe we just bring chaos and we're not ready to hear the whisper. Is that making sense? So today, really briefly, I'm just going to share a few things. How do I hear the whisper in my life? So let's pray and dive in. Lord, I just pray right now. Speak to our hearts. Lord, even as we wrap this up, speak to our hearts. Lord, and Lord, I just pray, help us to draw closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one is this. Number one, I'm just going to tell you this. You got to make room. You make room. Not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. Not just to figure out the calendar. Listen, you either control your calendar or your calendar controls you. People always tell me, well, I just don't have time. You don't understand. I don't have time. And I have goals for myself for reading a certain amount of books. I do this. I wake up early because, listen, we all have 24 hours of a day. We all have the same amount of time. And when people say, you don't get it, I have no time, my response is this, you prioritize what's important to you. I don't hear, amen? And I believe we live in a generation where everybody like brags about how busy they are. I'm just so busy. I'm like, are we bragging about the right things here? Part of me just says, listen, maybe part of the fact is we live in a culture where we're always busy. We always know what's going on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not saying those things are evil, but we're always so busy knowing what's going on. And you can tell me about everybody else in the world. You can tell me what Tom Cruise ate for lunch, but you can't tell me what the Lord spoke to you yesterday. Listen, this is convicting for me because I know a lot about football. And I can tell you more stats about the Denver Broncos, but the Lord's speaking to me saying, listen, dive into the word. Be hungry again. Be passionate again. Let the Lord speak to this. And this is what I've been feeling in my heart, just saying there has to be more. So control and stop playing offense. I mean, start and play offense and don't play defense with your calendar. Know what's going on. Put on your calendar date nights with your spouse. Put on your calendar times with your kids. Put on your time this week. Look your calendar today and saying, I'm going to block off 3 hours just to do a prayer walk, spend time with the Lord, and not just a daily thing, but this week, Lord and I are going to spend some time together. Whatever it is, but put on your calendar. Put some things on your calendar. Make time for the big rocks in your life. Make time for the big rocks in your life. My kids, my family, my time with the Lord. You make time for what's important to you. Lack of time is lack of priorities. And here's how it works. We all, I'm saying this, we all, me, especially me, we need to recalibrate our spiritual life. Is this true? The best way I know how to do this for me, and hopefully this works for you, is to fast. I don't know any, some people, you've heard of prayer and fasting before. There's something special about prayer and fasting. It's something that you pull yourself out of the norm and you spend time. So when I talk about prayer and fasting, there's a few times in scripture, I'm just going to read this out. The Bible is full of stories of how prayer and fasting changed things. Demon-possessed boy was healed because of prayer and fasting. Esther changed a nation through prayer and fasting. Paul healed many through prayer and fasting. Sodom and Gomorrah, in the situation of Sodom and Gomorrah, God backed down because of prayer and fasting. Jesus even prayed and fast. Mark 17 talks about the disciples who are trying to heal a demon-possessed boy, and they couldn't do it, and they went to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, this demon spirit won't come out unless you pray and fasted. Wow. So you mean to tell me certain things will not happen because we have not prayed and fasted for it? Yes. Isn't this crazy? So I'm going to give you this. Why do we pray and fast? I'm going to tell you. We pray and fast because, number one, fasting prepares us. I'm going through fast because we need to get through this. Fasting prepares us. Fasting creates space. It creates time. In this busy culture, it pulls us out, it unplugs us, and it creates space on our calendar. It demonstrates a desire to change. It gets your heart ready to receive. Listen, some of us don't know the Lord's voice because we're not ready to receive the Lord's voice. It tunes us into the Holy Spirit and unplugs us. And so here's my ideas for fasting. Number one in Scripture, it talks about fasting from food. And so I'm just going to, this is one of the things I do. It's just for a certain time period. It might be a day, might be 3 days. And whatever it is for you, you might just say, for the next few days, I'm going to fast. It's not a diet. Someone's like, hey, I got a new diet plan. I'm not going to eat for 3 days. This is the worst diet plan ever. What it is substituting what you want physically for something you want spiritually. That's what fasting is. Substituting something you crave for something you want even more. It's creating a different desire. So when you fast from food, it's not just saying, telling everybody, it's not going to the lunch area and saying, why aren't you eating? Because I'm fasting, because my pastor says I should fast, and that's what I'm doing. It says when you fast, don't tell the people around you. It just says lock yourself away to get away and just spend some time with the Lord. Because the reason you're doing it is not to lift up publicly, but to go away privately and spend time with the Lord. Is this true? And so we fast to get direction. We fast to get desire. We fast to unplug and to find his heartbeat to receive for him. And so maybe for you, it might be food. Maybe for you, I'm telling you, it might be just, and this is a big one for our culture, it may just be social media. This is what my wife are doing. Starting tomorrow, we're just going to unplug from Facebook and Instagram for a little while. And we're just going to unplug. And that time that, think about all the time we would save by not searching for stuff. Think about all the time we just got to unplug. And so one of the things we're talking about too right now, Jay and I, is saying even from TV screen time, how much time can we unplug? And what else can we do instead? So maybe for me, it's just saying no more screen time. Maybe for you in your house, you put a basket at the entrance of your house and you say, once you walk in this house for the next 2 weeks, put your cell phone right here and we're going to fast from the cell phone and when you're in this house. I don't know what it is, but maybe from you, depends where you're at. Maybe for you, you are just so busy doing tasks all the time, you need to take a break from your checklist. You need to stop and just say, my mind is constantly running. I need to pull back and fast from just doing. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's fasting from being negative Nancy all the time. Hopefully there's not a Nancy in here, you know. But maybe it's just fasting from, maybe it's fasting, maybe the thing's unhealthy. I remember a girl who was in high school, and I'm going to skip the whole last part of this. I'm going to share it next week. So we're going to end here really soon. We're going to land this plane because the next week I'm going to talk about journal and prayer and all that more stuff. What's interesting is there was a girl in our youth ministry when I was a youth pastor, and she would always struggle with relationships. I'm telling you, she was talking about a different boy every Wednesday night, and she's beautiful. She's awesome. And I'm like, you can get any guy, but she just couldn't settle. She just couldn't find the right guy. And every time she came to the front of prayer, she's like, I'm like, what guy is she going to pray for this time? Same thing. She's just insecure, and I'm like, come on. I look at her and I just want to shake her and say, you're loved, you're awesome, you don't need this. She came forward one night, this was the Holy Spirit, and I looked at her and I said, we didn't even talk about fasting tonight. This is what I encourage her. Quit relationships for the next year. I think she was 18 or 19. I said, you are young. I said, don't you believe God has the best for you? She's like, yeah. I said, quit. Quit trying to control everything. I said, don't even talk about boys. Don't even talk about relationships. Just be done with it. If your friends want to talk about theirs, that's fine. Listen. But don't talk about yours. I said, can you commit to be done for the next 6 months or a year? And she did. She's doing awesome. She's in the ministry. She's doing awesome stuff. I'm telling you right now, it was a hard, but that had to be pulled out of her. I can tell you right now, Dan and Brianna, you can come up here. in the band. I can tell you right now, when I was at Evangel College, this is ridiculous. One of the hardest fasts I've ever done. Now listen, I would encourage you, if you're going to do a food fast, still drink waters and liquids. Don't just say, I'm not going to drink anything. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to do a food fast for a few days or a day, make sure you still drink liquids. And make sure if you're a young person, make sure you talk to your parents first and get permission. If it's not permission, then don't do it. But I remember being at Evangel College, and my passion for the Lord just wasn't great. And I remember it was the year, some of you guys heard the story, it was the year after the Broncos beat the Packers. You guys remember this? I know Corey remembers this. I know a few Packer fans remember this, but it was really fun. John Elway beat Brett Favre, and it was awesome. And it was, that Super Bowl was over, and it was like going into that, it was still that February, and the Lord, I just kind of said, I need to pull back and begin to fast and pray, and the Lord really spoke to me heavily, and what he spoke to me was this. He says, Jarvis, it's not the evil things in your life that are going to destroy you. It's all these good things that are taken away of the best thing. And I said, explain. And it's just saying, you're not passionate for the Lord because there's too many good things happening, but not the best thing. And you're mixing up your priorities and you're not doing it right. You're looking at the small rocks and not the big rocks. Where are you and I at here? And I was like, okay. So then I started thinking about this in my heart. And I realized, I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not saying, I should be reading Bible more than reading magazines. I'm not saying that at all. But what I was doing, this is just me, this is not you. That year, I was spending so much more time watching ESPN, and I was going online looking up Bronco stuff and saying they won. What's next year going to be? And I feel like I wrote in my journal that year saying, give, what's my altar? What do I got to lay on my altar this year? You know what it was? Broncos. This sounds stupid to some people, right? Like, you mean to tell me your thing that you had to sacrifice is Broncos? Yes, I wore Bronco socks. I got them for Christmas. I got a Bronco hat. Like, I like football. I just grew up. We went to games. That's what it is. But I feel like God said, not forever, but this year. It's almost like God saying, how bad do you want it? What's going to consume you more? Me or something the best or something that's just good? What do you want more? Where's your passion at? And if you don't want more, what are you going to lay down? I said, okay. And I wasn't in front of my friends saying, if they asked me about it, I wasn't like, I can't even talk about it. I just never brought it up. I never watched ESPN. Isn't that weird? I never watched sports. I didn't want to be around it. So I just kind of gave it up. So as the season progressed, it wasn't like my friends were watching and saying, I'm not going to watch it. I just didn't put myself in situations where I was going to be brought into it. Not because it's a sin, just because it's obedience. Now listen, me watching it that year would have been a sin for me because I wouldn't have been obedient to what the Lord told me, but it wasn't a sin to somebody else. You catch that? Just because God called you not to do it doesn't mean he called everybody else not to do it. So that year, God said to me, don't do it. So season progressed. The Broncos, I don't know what's going on. After the 8th win, I'm finding out from people, hey, they're winning. I'm like, great. And then it gets to the playoffs, and I hear somebody say, listen, right now the NFC championships is Atlanta Falcons and Minnesota Vikings, and it's Broncos and somebody else. And I went, oh, for the love of everything, it could be the Broncos-Vikings Super Bowl. Remember this? Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper, all this stuff, and they lost to the Falcons. But I won't ever forget Broncos making the Super Bowl and me going there going, I can't even watch the game. And I never even asked the Lord about it, anything. And the Lord just spoke to me and says, I told you to do it for this year. I didn't tell you to do it for next year. And I feel like I could watch the Super Bowl. So the only game I watched all year was the Super Bowl. It was awesome. And I know that sounds really crazy because some of you are dealing with addiction. Some of you are dealing with, let's be honest, pornography. Some of you may be, you know what I'm saying, So we just had a conversation before. Some people are dealing with cigarettes. Some people are dealing with different things. Some people are dealing with just a relationship with people. Some people deal with negativity. Some people literally are dealing with just time. You have so many other things. You're saying and everything else is filling up that you misplaced it. So many other things. But I'm telling you, don't forget about the small things that take away of the big things. Because I believe we can be, I'm not doing those evil things, but anything that steps in the way of Jesus Christ is an idol. Anything that stands in the way of your relationship in the Lord is not a good thing. Is this true? So we need to be honest this morning. So everybody stand up. We're going to close. We're going to do communion. And I just want to say this morning, next week we're going to talk about journaling and prayer and Bible reading and all that kind of stuff. But today is about priority, saying, Lord, examine my heart. So before we even continue, everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to ask the Lord right now, saying, Lord, where am I? Lord, what's going on in the inside? Where am I at? Where's my heart? Where am I at with you? For you, it may not be, of course, the Broncos, but it might be something else. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's something that you need to lay down. Maybe it's something you're trying to control. Maybe you're trying to control your kids. Maybe you're trying to control your work situation. Maybe you're trying to, maybe you're putting, honestly, some people are putting even being healthy so much before the Lord and just the way they eat. And maybe whatever it is. And the Lord is saying to you, before you set your goals, before you set your agenda and your calendar, let me be part of it. And so maybe for you right now, it may be something else. And so the question is, are the priorities backwards? Examine your heart. What is, and this is what I want you to ask the Lord, what in my life is not supposed to be there that's in front of you? What in my life that I'm missing out on? What could 2016 bring that I could be missing out on because it's not the right priorities? So first things first, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and you're saying today, I want to make a decision to follow him. I want to make him a big rock in my life. I want to make him the true foundation. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. No one's looking around. No one's looking around. I see that. It's awesome. If you can repeat after me, dear Jesus, come into my life. Help me to make you the foundation and the priority. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me my sins. In Jesus' name, amen.